Talking Puck Podcast, a lot to talk about today here on the 10th of May. Tom Callahan, Jay Levin here with you, and I am at Callahan on air on Twitter. He's at Bowtie Sports. We would appreciate a follow if you are so inclined. And Jay, you and I had a lot to discuss during the game last night, Game 6. Well, a couple of Game 6s last night, but let's start with the Predators' big overtime win to force a Game 7 back in San Jose against the Sharks.
Man, what a strange game. I mean, it really, the way San Jose started there, it looked like they had it in their mind that they were going to finish this series off, get a couple of days rest, and cruise into the Western Conference Finals. Nashville really didn't have a ton of pushback the first 12, 13 minutes. They got, you know, the nice, I don't want to say lucky, but you know, they got a little bit of a fortuitous break there on the Josi goal, and the whole game just seemed to turn. All of a sudden, Nashville started skating. Nashville controlled the tempo, and they just they dominated from that point on.
You know, it's funny that it is such a game of momentum, and of course, we talked about the home ice advantage, what the crowd at Bridgestone Arena can bring to the game, how important it was and how loud it gets in that place. I mean, I was there for the first round and I took out the little, decibel meter and it hit 108 inside that building. So no doubt it gets loud. People get behind you. Yes, that makes a difference. But the other thing too in that game was the Sharks, maybe for the first time in this series, at least the way I saw it, the response they gave was not the one we've seen so far. They actually, for the first time to me, looked a little tired, looked like they didn't quite have the answer they were looking for, and that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. I definitely think the home crowd played a huge factor in last night's game. I mean, the Predators players talked about it post-game. The Sharks players actually even talked about it and indicated that that may have helped Nashville on its second goal. You know, that some of the Sharks were saying that the on-ice communication, it was tough to verbally communicate to one another during the play as the crowd got so loud. So I think that the Nashville crowd might have bought the Predators win there last night. Now let's see, can the Predators go bring that same energy with them when they're out there in California?
And so looking ahead to that Game 7 coming up here, not the best goaltending performance in the world out of either goaltender, but I don't see really a reason to switch here for the Predators lineup-wise. They put Mike Ribeiro back into the lineup, and of course there's been some conjecture as to, you know, him going back in and the way he's played in the postseason. But I thought he acquitted himself well. Maybe the seat he took there for a little while in the press box may have sparked him a little bit and gotten him on the right path.
Peter Laviolette, after both Game 5 and Game 6, raved about Mike Ribeiro's performances. He was very happy with what Ribeiro brought. Personally, I really haven't seen much out of Ribeiro. I don't have the coach's tape. I'm not looking at all of the same level of detail that they are. I don't see any jump to the power play when he's out there, but end of the day, the coaches have talked about him bringing a lot more energy. They're going to keep him in. I mean, there's absolutely no indication there that they're going to take him out. San Jose, Matt Nieto got banged up early in the game, did not return. So they might be forced into a roster move. We'll be interested to see how that plays out. Again, extra day in between games because of concert out there in San Jose, so you've got the game on Thursday rather than on the quote-unquote normal schedule, which would have had it playing on Wednesday. So we'll see how that extra day of rest plays into things as well.
I bet you it helps the Preds out quite a bit. It's the first time this whole postseason they haven't played on every other night. It's the first time they'll have 2 days off. So if you're a Preds fan, you got to hope that that plays into it as well. And the other thing, Jay, we talked about, you know, prior to Game 5, Game 6, the speed in Nashville. Most of the series, when they've had their speed going, it favored them. Last time in San Jose, it was the Sharks who kind of got out to the track meet mentality. But then again, last night, we see the Predators, especially on that overtime goal by Arvidsson. I mean, that was huge. Speed off the wing. He's able to come in and couldn't have placed that shot any better to get the overtime winner.
Yeah, speed has, to me, that's been the biggest thing to look for in the series. San Jose, when the Sharks have played a possession game, they've been able to really dominate the play. When Nashville's been able to get into a speed game, into a back-and-forth, quick-moving up-tempo, more often than not, it has favored the Predators. So I'll be interested to kind of see who controls the tempo there on Thursday night and stuff.
And so as we kind of take a look then at the other series, you got St. Louis and Dallas also ending up in a situation where, hey, these guys are going to a Game 7. I got to tell you, I was very surprised by the Stars getting out early, jumping on top of the Blues. Huge response from Dallas. And I gotta be honest with you, I did not expect that out of St. Louis. I was actually a little shocked. They started the game so slowly. They end up pulling Brian Elliott, which I would have done at that time. Allen goes in, does what he needed to do, didn't give up a goal, allowed them to jump back in that hockey game. Now there's this giant question mark hanging over the Blues, and Ken Hitchcock, talking to the press today, refused to feed into, you know, or I guess reveal who he's going to start tomorrow, says he's going to sleep on it. So he's kind of keeping it a secret. Is that a mind game thing for Dallas? Does he really not know? For me, I don't see how you don't go back to Brian Elliott, because he's been the guy who's gotten you here. And he didn't seem to be fazed at all by Brian Elliott having a bad game in Game 6 against Chicago last series. So I'd be shocked if it was not Brian Elliott.
If it's me, I'm going to go. If I have to make the goalie call, I would go with Allen. And it's nothing against Brian Elliott. Brian Elliott has been real solid this playoffs. Two of the three goals, tough to really fault him on last night. But I think just Dallas is such a skilled offensive team. I think that the Stars are getting comfortable looking at Brian Elliott. I want to just give them a different look. And remember, it was only 2 months ago that Allen was the guy who you were sure was gonna carry the load for you in the playoffs. He got hurt at the very end of the season. That's what opened the door for Elliott. Elliott has been fantastic through this playoffs. But Brian Allen, like, Allen really is your Nick Allen is your number one goalie. He's your starter. I think I want to give Dallas a different look. I go back to my starter, and I trust him there for Game 7.
And you know, I'm a huge Jake Allen supporter, and I've been saying for the last 2 or 3 years, the Blues need to anoint him number one and get something out of Brian Elliott while you still can, while he's got trade value, which certainly coming out of this postseason, he will. All of that said, Allen has not played. He has not played in, you know, two playoff series worth of dates now. That's, what, 3-4 weeks if you go back to the regular season when he was injured. It's so tough to jump in there and acclimate to the speed. Now, he had a couple of periods the other night, and he did play well. And again, as I said, did what he needed to do, kept the Blues in the game while they rallied and almost tied it late. But I think at this point, because if you go into the next series, let's just say Allen wins this series, now he's your starter heading into the conference final. I just feel like there's something there for Elliott, the veteran guy who had better numbers throughout the regular season for the Blues, who has played very well, got them past a difficult challenge in Chicago. He's had one bad game in this series. I don't think it's a reason to take him out, personally.
Well, I mean, luckily neither of us have to make that.
That's true.
That's what Ken Hitchcock gets paid the big money to make that call. And really, I mean, St. Louis is in an enviable position that they've got two guys who are playing at a level that they should be able to get the job done. And quite honestly, I don't have confidence in Dallas's goaltending that that Dallas will be able to defend as well in Game 7, and that Dallas will get the consistency in net. So even though it didn't really surprise me that Dallas won Game 6, I don't see Dallas winning the series because I don't think they bring that effort and get that performance in the defensive zone night in, night out that you need to be able to put together two games, you know, in a playoff series like this.
I absolutely think that Dallas would take either one of St. Louis's goaltenders as their starter right now over the two guys that they happen to have. All right, Jay, Eastern Conference real quick. We know Tampa Bay is waiting to see what happens with Pittsburgh and Washington here, and so just want to get a couple quick thoughts on that series.
Washington, I want to see Brooks Orpik. I want to see, one, how he plays coming back into the lineup, two, how Pittsburgh responds to Orpik coming back in the lineup. Does Pittsburgh try to take any runs at him? Does Pittsburgh get out of its normal game? Does he get under their skin? So that's something I want to see. I want to see also how Murray responds there in Pittsburgh. Last two games, he's started off a little shaky. Does he lock it down from first shot, or is this the start of a little bit of a crack in the armor in his play?
I will say, because of the uncertainty of what Murray's going to bring to the table right now, and we don't really know how he is going to come out there. And again, I mean, he's still a kid. He's 21 years old. He's figuring it out. But boy, the Capitals got to jump on him and pound him early. And if I'm Barry Trotz, I say to Orpik, you do not dance under any circumstances. I don't care how bad it is, how much they're goading you. Stay away from that. You do not want to take any chance of giving that Pittsburgh bench some energy, some life. Keep it on your side. This is why, you know, the Capitals have been able to win these games, because they had a potent power play, which had been asleep for part of the playoffs, but now seems to be righting the ship a little. But they've been able to score those goals, make those things happen. If they can't do that against Pittsburgh, it's going to be an awful difficult battle.
And at the same time, I think that tonight and potentially Game 7, this is legacy building time for Alex Ovechkin. I mean, Ovi has done everything you can ask him to do during the regular season. The only thing really missing from his legacy, missing from his resume, is a long playoff run, a chance to play for the cup, chance to lift the cup. This is as good a shot as you would think he's ever going to have in his career. So this is a chance for him to really stamp a legacy, come out, dominate a Game 6, a Game 7, and carry his team on in the playoffs.
All right. Well, that's today's edition of the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan and Jay Levin. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on Air. He is at Bowtie Sports. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll catch up with you soon.